Today's Amud is Beitza Chaf Amud Beis. We're holding on Chaf Amud Aleph, about 9-10 lines on the bottom, by the two dots, by the words Tanu Rabbanan. So we're going back now on the din of the Mishnah. We mentioned the Machlekes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, regarding bringing the Eilas Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga on Yom Tov. And there was a two-way Machlekes. First of all, Beis Shammai said that you're not allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov Bechlal. You have to wait till Cholamai. Being that it's a carbon Eila, you're not getting any part of it. You don't get to eat any part of it. So there's no Eichel Nefesh. So you're not allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. Shalmei Chagiga, being that it's a Shlomim and you get to eat some of the meat, so that Beis Shammai said you could bring on Yom Tov. However, Beis Shammai said that you're not allowed to do smicha. So Beis Shammai had two limitations. Number one is that you cannot bring an Eilas Re'iyah. And number two is when you bring the Shalmei Chagiga, you're not allowed to do smicha. Beis Hillel didn't hold of either one of those limitations. Beis Hillel said that you're allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah. And regarding smicha on the Shlamim, Beis Hillel said that you're always allowed to do smicha, also on the Eila. But on the Shlamim, on the Shalmei Chagiga, Beis Hillel argued on Beis Shammai and said that you are allowed to do smicha. So it was a two-way machlekes. Now says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa that there was a Maisa beHillel HaZaken, that there was a story with Hillel HaZaken. So until now we were discussing Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the father of the whole Shita was Hillel himself, Hillel HaZaken. And a story once happened that Hillel brought to the Beis HaMikdash an animal to bring as a carbon oila, and he was planning on doing smicha. So he was going to do both of these things that Shammai held that you weren't allowed to do. Number one, he was bringing an oilas riya, and number two is he was going to do smicha. Now just an important background is that a carbon oila has to be a zachar, it has to be a male. A female animal cannot be brought as a carbon oila. So obviously this animal was a zachar, because you're only allowed to use a zachar. An oila requires that you have to use a zachar. So now Hillel was bringing this male animal as a carbon oila and to do smicha. And chavru alav tamidei shamai. And some tamidim of shamai, they ganged up and they started chepering Hillel azakim. And they chavru alav tamidei shamai azakin, and some talmidim of shamai azakin, they ganged up and they started chepering Hillel. And amru lo, and they said to Hillel, mativa shel behemazu. So nu, what type of animal is this? Is it a boy or a girl? So amar lehem. So Hillel mitoich is anivas. He didn't want to start a fight. So he said nekeva he. It's a female. By saying it's a nekeva, he basically is saying that it's a shlamim, it's not an oila, because a nekeva cannot be used as an oila. And he said it's a nekeva, ulazivchei shlamim havisia, and I'm bringing it as a shlamim. And even to prove it to them, so kishkei shlahem biznava, he started like moving and shaking the tail to show that it was a female. Now, it was really reverse psychology. He figured that by shaking the tail, so now he's obviously so confident and he's willing to show them that it's a female, so then the tamidim of Shammai aren't going to even look, and that's taka what happened. They didn't bother to look. If they would have looked, they would have seen that it's a zachar. But Hillel was confident, so to speak, and he shook the tail to show them that no, it's a female, and that he's bringing it as a shlamim. V'halchu lehem, so the tamidim of Shammai, so they went away and they let him be because they figured, okay, he's bringing a shlamim. Now, va'aysa ayayim, on that day, people that saw this exchange, they saw that Hillel backed down to the tamidim of Shammai. So gavri yadam shal beis Shammai al beis Hillel. So it came out that the tamidim of Shammai, the hand of beis Shammai was stronger over the hand of beis Hillel, meaning that ubikshu likvaya halacha kemaisan. The people around over there, they wanted to establish that the halacha is like beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to bring an oilas ri on Yom Tov, because they saw that even Hillel azakin, even Hillel himself, he backed down to the tamidim of Shammai. So maybe he's made that really to beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to bring an oila on Yom Tov. However, says the Gemara, v'haya sham zaken echad mitamidei Shammai hazaken. There was a certain elder from the Tamidim of Shammai, one of the older Tamidim, u'baba ben Buta Shemai. His name was Bava ben Buta. Shayideya shahalacha kebeis Hillel, and he knew that no, really the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel was being quiet because Hillel hazaken was being quiet because he's an anav. Nothing to learn from that in terms of the halacha. But he knew that really the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So what he did was, is shalach, he sent, v'hevi kol tzoin kedesh of Yerushalayim, and he brought all of the flax that were in Yerushalayim, v'hamidon ba'azara, and he stood them up in the azara. Now, Tosfos points out that Yevada, you can't bring chulin into the azara. These animals were still in their chulin state, so he didn't bring them into the azara. It just means he brought the animals to the Harabayas. So Bava ben Buta, he brought all these animals in Yerushalayim to Harabayas, v'amar, and he announced, and he said, Kol Misha writes a lismach, yavavi ismach. Anybody wants to come bring a carbon and do smicha? So he should come and he should do smicha. Va'isa yaim gavra yadin shal beis Hillel. And really, on that day, what ended up happening was because of this, Hillel's hand was stronger than Beis Shammai's. V'kavu alacha kemaisan. And they were kaiveya. They established that the alacha is like Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to bring an oilas riya and you're allowed to do smicha on yamtif. V'ohaya sham adam she'ir b'davar klum. And nobody was ma'arir against Bava ben Buta's macha, meaning even the Talmidim of Shammai, they accepted that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, Shuv Maisa, there was another story, a similar story, but Talmud Echa mitalmide Beis Hillel. This time it wasn't Hillel HaZaken himself, this time it was a Talmud from Beis Hillel, it was a Talmud from Hillel's Yeshiva. Shehevi Ailasa La'azara Lismechalel. He also, following the Rebbe's footsteps, he went to bring his Aila to the Azara and to do Smicha. Well, Mitzahu Talmud Echa mitalmide Beis Shammai. One of the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, he found him. He found this Talmud of Beis Hillel preparing to do smicha. And Amar Lai, and he says to him, Mazu smicha? What are you doing smicha for? You're not allowed to do smicha on Yamtiv. So Amar Lai, so the Talmud of Beis Hillel responded back to the Talmud of Beis Shammai, Mazu ishtika? And what's the silence? Why aren't you being quiet? Didn't you know that the Talmidim of Shammai already accepted that the Lacha is like Beis Hillel? So what are you starting up for? And Shaskoi ben Azifa v'halachlai. And with that, the Talmud of Hillel, he screamed at the Talmud of Shammai, and he made him quiet and walk away. And Amar Abaye commented, and he said about the story, that you can learn out an important lesson in Shalom from this story. At Hilkoch, Haitzur v'mer Abanan, if you have a young Talmud Chacham, da'amr le'chavri milsa, and someone else tells him something, he steppers him, and he starts up with him, so lightly hader le'milsa tfei mimai da'amr. Don't escalate the situation. He shouldn't respond with something more aggressive than what the friend told him. And how do you see that from this story? The Talmud of Shammai told the Talmud of Hillel, what's this smicha? Mazu smicha. You see, he used like the same nusach. He didn't say, oh, what are you, crazy? And he didn't escalate the situation. The same nusach, the same level of strength that the Talmud of Shammai went to chepper him with, he cheppered him back with. He didn't escalate the situation. So says Abaye that that's an important lesson in Shalom that you can learn from this story. Now, personally, I had a very difficult time understanding these stories, and I'll explain to you what's bothering me. I'll explain maybe with a mashal. So my family is of Moroccan descent, and as a result, so typically we follow the halachos that are in the Shulchan Aruch. Ashkenazim typically follow the Ramah, I typically follow the Psakim of the Shulchan Aruch. So just to bring out an example of one machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, is let's say a person, he has a boiling pot of soup on the blech going on into Shabbos, so he takes the soup off the blech when he wants to serve it, and the soup is still hot, but it's not boiling. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, once it's not boiling, you're not allowed to put it back on. You can't do chazara unless the soup is still yad seledes bay, unless the soup is still boiling. Liquids has to still be boiling for you to be allowed to put it back onto the blech. According to the Ramah, as long as the soup is still hot, even if it's not boiling, as long as you would still consider it hot soup, so then you could put it back onto the blech. So now, I hold that no, once it's hot, once it's not boiling, once it loses its bubbles, so then you can't put it back on. Someone who's Ashkenazi comes up to me, and he asks me, I just took the soup off the blech, it's not boiling anymore, but it's still very hot. Am I allowed to put it back onto the blech? So now for me, I hold it's usur, because it's not boiling anymore. So for me, it's usur. But for him, he follows the Ramah, And so for him, it's 100% mutter. So what do I tell him? Do I tell him it's aser because I hold it's aser? Or do I tell him it's mutter because that's his minhag? His minhag is to go like the Rama, and for him it's mutter. So I always understood, it's a davar pashut, that of course you tell him what is, according to what he is supposed to follow. He's supposed to follow the Rama. For him it's mutter, so I have no problem telling someone else, even though for me, it would be completely aser to do it. It would be completely aser to put the soup that's not boiling anymore, it would be completely aser to put it back onto the blech. For him, being that he follows the Rama, it's mutter, so of course I'll tell him it's mutter, that he's supposed to do like his Rebbe, and I'm supposed to go like my Rebbe. He does like his minug, I do like my minug. Shalom al Yisrael. And it's the same way, sometimes you have bigger machleksim and more sensitive issues also, but it's all really the same thing, you know. He holds he's supposed to get vaccinated, my Rebbe holds not to get vaccinated, so he shouldn't get upset at me, and I shouldn't get upset at him. I hold you wear a mask, he holds not to wear a mask, because that's what his Rebbe holds, and I'm going like my Rebbe. There's no reason for one person to get into a fight with the other. You go like your Rebbe, and he's supposed to go like his Rebbe. There's no reason for there to be any sort of conflict. So then what's the pshat in this story over here? Hillel, especially in the second story, the Talmud of Hillel was going like his Rebbe. Hillel held that you're allowed to bring an Ayla on Yom Tif, and he held that you're allowed to do Smicha. Shammai, and this Talmud of Shammai, he's supposed to go like his Rebbe. For him to bring an Ayla on Yom Tif is completely aser, and for him to do Smicha is completely aser. But therefore, he has to start chaperoning the Talmud of Hillel? What's his problem with the Talmud of Hillel? The Talmud of Hillel is going like his Rebbe. You go like your Rebbe, and for you it's taka aser to bring an Ayla. For you, the Talmud of Shammai, it's aser to do Smicha. But there's no reason to make a fight with the Talmud of Hillel. He's going like his Rebbe. His Rebbe holds you have to bring an Ayla. There's a chiyuv to bring an Ayla Sri'iyah on Yom Tif. His Rebbe holds that there's a chiyuv to do Smicha. And take up the Shechita Smicha. He has a chiyuv to do Smicha on Yom Tif. So why is he chaperoning him? What was so complicated? Why couldn't this Talmud of Shammai understand that he's supposed to go like his Rebbe and still have shalom with the Talmud of Hillel that's supposed to go like his Rebbe? What's going on in this story? Unless you say that this Talmud of Shammai was taka not a good guy, doesn't seem like it. L'chayra, someone in Beis Shammai's yeshiva, he was a chashev person. So why what's going on in this fight over here? So I was learning this Gemara this past Sukkos Bein Hazmanim in the yeshiva in the mirror, and I was next to Rav Aaron David, so I asked Rav Aaron David this kasha. I said, what's the pshat in the story? Why did the Talmud of Shammai, why couldn't he understand that for someone else who has a different Rebbe, that he's allowed to go like his Rebbe? So Rav Aaron David wanted to say, he said maybe Bederach Efsher, he liked the question, he said maybe Bederach Efsher, you could say that the pshat in the story is like this. That Avada, the Talmud of Shammai, understood that someone else who has a different Rebbe is allowed to and is even supposed to go like his Rebbe. But when the Talmud of Shammai saw the Talmud of Hillel doing Smicha, the Talmud of Shammai said, I can't just be quiet. I can't be quiet. If I'm quiet, so then people are going to take it and say, oh, look, Shammai backed down. Like is really what you see in the first story. That people saw that Hillel stayed quiet, and what happened was is people took that as a sign that Hillel was backing down. So the Talmud of Shammai felt, I have to show that we're not backing down, that we don't approve of this practice. Now, of course, they weren't actually going to do anything to Hillel. They weren't going to do anything to the Talmud of Hillel. They understood that someone else is allowed to have a different shita. If it's coming through Tyra, is allowed to have a different shita. But they felt that they couldn't remain quiet, because if they remained quiet, so it's going to be taken as a sign that we are backing down from our shito, and that's really what you saw in the first story. So therefore, the Talmud of Shammai had to make a macha. Now in the second story, the Talmud of Hillel told the Talmud of Shammai that you're wrong for even making a macha. Mazu shtika, don't you know it happened already? Bava ben Buta announced that the halacha is like Hillel, and the Talmidim of Shammai were quiet, so they did back down. So you're not supposed to speak up now, because your yeshiva really did back down from their shita, and they were kaiveya that the halacha is like Hillel. Perhaps that's the pshan in the stories, but the question is, mamish, it's shver, what exactly was bothering this Talmud of Shammai that he couldn't understand that someone else could have another shita? And as we'll go weiter, says the Gemara, Tani, we learned in the Braisa. So now again, we're going back to the Mishnah, where we had a machlekes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about whether or not you're allowed to bring an Ayla Sri'iyah, an Ayla, on Yom Tov. So we learned in the Braisa that Amru Lahem Beis Hillel LeBeis Shammai. So the Braisa tells us some details about this conversation that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai had when they were fighting out this halacha about whether or not you're allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. So Beis Hillel taina to Beis Shammai, and they said to Beis Shammai, that I'll prove it to you in logic that you're allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. What's the Raya? Because, let's look to Shabbos. Uma b'makayim she'asir lehedyet. On Shabbos we find that hedyet is not allowed to do malacha. You can't cook on Shabbos. You're not allowed to cook yourself some food for the Shabbos suda. That's asir on Shabbos. Yet motor legvaya. Yeah, when it comes to karbanos, we bring a tamid shal shachar, we bring a karban musaf, we bring a tamid shal bein arbayim, we bring karbanos to Hashem. So it's asir to do malacha for yourself, and yet still it's mutter to do malacha for Hashem kaviyachal. So makim shemutter lehediyet. So on Yom Tov, where it's even mutter to do malacha for yourself. So ein aydin shemutter legvaya. So shouldn't that show us that kol shekein it's mutter to shecht an oila to do malacha for Hashem? So amar lahem. Amru lahem beishamai. Beishamai responded back to Beis Hillel, that I'll prove it to you that your logic is faulty. Because nedarmu nedavos yechichu. Look at nedarmu nedavos. Nedarmu nedavos shemutter lahedyet. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do malacha for a hedyet. And yet even you are masking Beis Hillel, va'aser legvaya, that it's aser to bring nedarmu nedavos on Yom Tov. So you see, even you agree that this logic doesn't make sense. You see that there are certain things that are mutter for a hedyet on Yom Tov, and yet still it's aser legvaya. So Amr Lahem, Amru Lahem, Beis Hillel responded back to Beis Shammai, Amru Lahem Beis Hillel, that no, you have no question from Nedarim and Nedavos. Nedarim and Nedavos are its own parasha, it's separate, you can't ask from there. Because Ma'al Nedarim and Nedavos, She'en Kivu Lahem Zman. Because the reason why you can't bring the Dharma and the Davos on Yom Tov is because there's no set time to bring them. There's no reason to dafka bring it on Yom Tov. Bring it after Yom Tov. Why should you dafka bring it on Yom Tov? That's why you're not allowed to bring the Dharma and the Davos on Yom Tov. Taimar ba'ilas re'iyah shekavul azman. But you're going to tell me now that you can't bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov when that's really the Zman to bring it? The Zman to bring it is on Yom Tov. So just like we see that it's mutter to do malacha for a hedyet, kol shekein, it should be mutter to bring an Eilas Re'iyah and to bring a carbon, which is a Yom Tov carbon, to bring it on Yom Tov. Amru lahem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai responded to Beis Hillel that it's not true that Eilas Re'iyah is kavul azman, because Avzu ain't kavul azman. An Eilas Re'iyah does not have a set time. You don't have to bring it dafka on Yom Tov. That now we learned in the Mishnah that Misho Loi Chag b'Yom Tov Rishain Shel Chag, a person who didn't bring his carbon on the first day of Yom Tov, Chaygig v'Hilech Kol HaRegel Kulay, he could continue bringing it the whole Yom Tov, the whole Chol HaMoed, he could keep bringing it if he didn't bring it the first day. V'Yom Tov Acharin Shel Chag, even on Shemini Atzeres, on the last day of Sukkot, if a person didn't yet bring his carbon, he could bring it on Shemini Atzeres. So you see, it's not Kavul Azman. You don't have to dafka bring it on Yom Tov. You could even bring it during Chol HaMoed, or even on Shemini Atzeres. However, Amru Lahem Beis Hillel said back to Beis Shammai that Avzu Kavul Azman, that it's still considered to have Azman Kavua. Why? You could bring it the whole Yom Tov, you could bring it Chol HaMoed, so why is it called Azman Kavua? Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah that Avar HaRegel V'Loi Chag, if a person missed the whole Regel and he didn't yet bring his carbon, Ein Chayiv Bachar Yuso, he's not Chayiv to replace him, meaning he lost it, he missed it. Once Yom Tov is over, so he missed his opportunity. So even though it's true you could bring it during the subsequent days of Yom Tov, but it's only during Yom Tov that you could bring it, during Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. Once Yom Tov is over, you missed it. So therefore, that's enough, being that it's such a tight window, that's enough to consider it kavua lazman, that you're allowed to bring it on the first day of Yom Tov. However, Amru Lahem Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel, okay, I hear in Svara, maybe you could get into it that you should have a Kavu Chaymer. Fine, maybe. But I have a Pasuk which shows you that you're not allowed to bring an Eilas Re'iyah on Yom Tov. V'olai Kvar Nemar, the Pasuk says, Lachem, it says that you're allowed to do Eichel Nefesh on Yom Tov. You could do certain Molachais. Lachem, for you. So what do we say, what does the Torah mean when it says that you're allowed to do certain Molachais, Lachem, for yourself? We darshan from there, says Beis Shammai, V'olai Ligvaya, that you're not allowed to do Molacha Ligvaya. You can't do a Molacha that you get no benefit from. So you're not allowed to bring an oila which gets burnt on the Mizbeach completely. It's not like a shlamim where you get to eat some of it. The Torah says, lochem, you can only do malacha if you benefit from it, and not malacha that's purely ligvaya. Amru lahem Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel responded back, v'alei kvar nemar lashem. But the pasuk says lashem, that you are allowed to bring karbanis that are lashem. Kol de lashem, it's mashba any karban that's for Hashem, you're allowed to bring it on Yom Tif. And so therefore said Beis Hillel back to Beis Shammai, imkein ma tamo loymar lachem. What are we going to do with that, which the Torah also does say lachem? It sounds like you can only do malacha if you're going to benefit from it. Lachem v'loy lekusim. Lachem v'loy leklavim. That lachem teaches us that you're only allowed to do malacha if it's for you, just lafuke, a guy. You can't do malacha for your, you can only do it for you, for Jewish people, not for kusim. Lachem v'loy leklavim, only for you, for people, and not for animals. That's the limud of lachem. That eichel nefesh, it's mutter to cook on Yom Tif, let's say, but you're not allowed to cook for a guy. You're not allowed to cook for your pet. You're only allowed to cook for another Jew. That's the limud of lachem. And therefore, Beis Hillel argued back to Beis Shammai that there is no drasha to exclude bringing an eilas re'iyah on Yom Tif. So Beis Shammai held that lachem teaches us that you're not allowed to bring an eilas re'iyah on Yom Tif. And Beis Hillel says that no, that's not what lachem is teaching us. Lachem is to teach us that you're not allowed to cook for a guy and that you're not allowed to cook for your animal. Abashol, I'm Rabbi Lashon Acheres. Abashol had a similar back and forth. He recorded the back and forth between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in a similar way, but not exactly the same. That this is what Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai. That you're allowed to bring an eilas re'iyah on Yom Tif, and this is the svara to say that you're allowed to. Uma b'makim shikiras chastuma. If what do we find on Shabbos? That your oven is closed. On Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. Yet kiras rab chapsucha, the mizbeach is open. The kira, the oven of your rab, of the master, of Hashem is open. The mizbeach is open. So b'makim shikiras chapsucha. So on the day, on Yom Tif, where your oven is open, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tif. So then surely the Mizbeach should be open and you should be allowed to bring even an Ayla. And also there's another logic to say that it should be mutter to bring a carbon Ayla on Yom Tif. Why should your table be all full when we have tons of food that are just for you to eat and then the Shulchan, so to speak, of your master is empty? So now that was the way Abishol recorded Beis Hillel's Taina to Beis Shammai. So it doesn't have any of the response back that Beis Shammai said back to Beis Hillel. It just says that this is what Beis Hillel Taina'd to Beis Shammai. So it says the Gemara B'maika Miflagi. So now what's the practical difference between the first version of the conversation and Abishol's version? Says the Gemara, is that Mar Savar Nedar Menudava is craven B'yamtif. Abishol, who left out the rest of the back and forth that Beis Shammai Taina'd back to Beis Hillel, and asked that, oh, but Nedar Menudavas you're not allowed to bring on Yom Tif. Abishol left that out. Why? Because he held that Nedar Menudavas is craven B'Yom Tif. Now you are allowed to bring Nedar Menudavas on Yom Tif. Umar Savar ain't craven B'Yom Tif. Whereas the first version held that you're not allowed to bring Nedar Menudavas on Yom Tif. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Huna, Nedivri Ha'imer Nedar Menudavas ain't craven B'Yom Tif. According to the man Amar who says that you're not allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavas on Yom Tif, so you should know, Leitema Midaraisa Mechza Chazu, you shouldn't think that really Midaraisa Tzvatar, and it's just Verabbanan who Degazri Behu, and it's just the Rabbanan who were Geyser, that you're not allowed to bring Nedarim and Nedavas on Yom Tif, and the reason why they were Geyser is because of Igzeira Shem Yashe. Because maybe a person is going to push off bringing his Nedarim and Nedavas until Yom Tif, and then something will happen, and they'll end up not even bringing it on Yom Tif, and completely missing, not bringing at all his Nedar and Nedava. Don't think that that's the pshat. If you hold you can't bring Nedarim and Nedavas on Yom Tif, it's even midaraisa that you're not allowed to bring a Nedar and Nedava on Yom Tif. And what's my raya? Dehashtei alechem dechayves hayoim nenu. When it comes to the shtei alechem that are brought with the kifsei atzeres on Shavuos. So that's the Chayves Hayoim. The Chayev is to bring that carbon on Shavuos. The carbon itself, the Kivsei Atzeres, are Kivsei Atzeres. They're Kvasin and have to be brought on Shavuos. V'lekula Migzar Shemayashes. So now there's no reason to be Geyser that a person's going to end up delaying and not bringing it on Shavuos, because it has to be brought on Shavuos. V'einoy Deicha Leyes HaShabbos V'Leyes HaYomtif. And yet still, when it comes to baking the bread for the Kivsei Atzeres, when it comes to baking the challah that accompanies the Kivsei Atzeres, so the halacha is that they have to be baked before Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to bake it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why not? There's no Gzeira Shema Yasha. The carbon has to be brought on Yom Tov. Kayanim is reasoning. They're not gonna miss their opportunity. Alama, you see from here that Nedarma Nedava is things that don't have Isman Kavua. You could have done it before, like baking the Shtei Alechem, so then it's just not Deicha Yomtev. It's not that Midah Raisa, it's Mutter, and the Rabbanim were Geyser Shemiyasha. It's that it's even Midah Raisa, you're not allowed to do those Avaydais on Yomtev.